Blog Talk Radio.
How many of you still have the sheet we passed out at the beginning of Advent? Yes. So I want us to, one more time, make this our confession from the Gospel of John. So I don't know if there's... We put them out already. Okay. Okay. So if we can make this confession together. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and God was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him, and without him was not one thing made. What was created in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot eclipse it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have gazed upon his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact. It's our life, this Jesus. Father, during this time we talk about a lot of things. But Lord, let us never run out of opportunities to talk about Jesus, to be saturated with the life of God, to be filled to overflowing with the reality of your presence. So, Lord God, for these few moments we have together, cause us to push aside all distractions and focus in upon Jesus and upon your holy word. That once again, your word may become flesh within each one of us. Lord, we're asking it in the name of Jesus. We're asking also, Father, in the name of Jesus for Lily Carter, that you will tend to her need as she's there in that hospital. Lord, we don't have to tell you all this. You already know. But Lord, we're asking together that you will meet her need in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we come to the conclusion of the message from here, we want to introduce to you our Bible reading program for next year that we can do as a congregation, keeping in step one with another. All right, we're going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 5-9 and then verses 13-14. There's really nothing wrong with verses 10-12 either. But that really is another discussion altogether. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God adore him. And the angels, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire? But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of all of those who inherit salvation? So we've come to this final Sunday in Advent. We've looked at the prophecies. We've looked at Bethlehem. We've looked at the shepherds. Today, we want to take a little look at the angels, but every time the Bible talks about the angels, it deflects our attention to Jesus. And I think of the Christmas hymn that says, angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. It's kind of like the scripture, isn't it? Angels, it's your job to worship, to adore, not to be adored and worshiped. But I want to start out with thinking about this because even this song ends up singing, worship Christ, the newborn King. And you think of the other Christmas songs we sing, Away in a Manger, Little Lord Jesus, No Crying He Makes, I don't believe it for one minute. But mostly the things about Christmas don't get past a little baby. And then, well, I guess this could become a good discussion, and we should do it at some point. What does the 25th of December have to do with Jesus' birth? What does it have to do with it? Nothing. We can say, you know, like the Ivory Soap people, you can be 99.44% sure that December 25th is not the birth date of Jesus. So what's it all about? You know, there have been crusades to obliterate Christmas and not have it and do all this. But God hasn't called us to be divisive. So, more than it is about birth, it really is about incarnation. It is a time to reflect on and to acknowledge the fact of God becoming incarnate, not necessarily a birth. But the common concept is that it is Jesus' birthday. We don't really know a birth date, but we can know a birth year from the historical evidence, especially from the Gospel of Luke, who is very particular about timing. But we don't want to use our time here this morning to kind of get into this. If you are interested, we're going to do a little bit of looking into this on Tuesday. So, rather than get all hung up on all of that, I mean, even think about Christmas. You know, I would believe, again, 99%, I'm not very good on statistics, but on this one I'm fairly close, I think. So let's just say most. Most of what we call the Christmas story is legend. It's not biblical fact at all. For example, I'll just mention one. We're always saying, well, Jesus was born in a stable, he was born in a barn. The Bible doesn't say that. The only word the Bible uses, a manger. So we presume it's in the barn. But anyway, that's not a big discussion point anyway. And it probably was a stable of sorts. But, you know, we make something legend as fact. And so we have all these nice-looking barns. If it was a barn, it would have been stinky. It would not have been nice and sterile. But it's not really about places. It's about the reality of God becoming incarnate, becoming a man.